I have a little fun little, I wouldn't call it a game, but I took a poll this morning and I asked people what they thought was going on in these images. So I'm going to put a couple images up there, talk about what people said was going on here. So we have a meerkat here. Kind of looks like my dad, if y'all know what my dad looks like. It's smiling like my dad. When I first saw this photo, that's immediately what I thought of, was my dad. I asked a couple people what they thought was going on here. One person said that the meerkat is trying to get out of a speeding ticket. Yep, so just a couple other things. But what's actually going on here is a zoo was just weighing their animals for, yearly check-ins, and they were just weighing the meerkat. So not as fun as getting out of a speeding ticket. And what's going on here? Looks like a drawing of an older gentleman, maybe struggling to stand up, or he's kind of hunched over. Maybe he's feeling not too well. I don't know. He looks kind of angry. Maybe he's yelling at people. He's just an angry guy. Maybe he's yelling at people. Let's roll the clip. Let's see what this actually is. Okay. It was just Mr. Neal preaching. Got it. I only have a couple more opportunities to humiliate my sister. So, yeah, she drew that last Sunday while he was preaching. I found that quite hilarious. What's this guy doing? He obviously a degenerate teenager on his phone in the middle of church, not paying attention to the lesson. Purple's not really his color. I don't know why he's wearing that shirt. Let's roll the clip. Let's see what he's doing. He's just not paying attention to the lesson, sitting back over there. What is he doing? Oh, he's reading scripture. Oh, well, obviously my entire view of him has changed. Purple's definitely his color. He looked super strong. Wow, what a handsome fella. Definitely just a great guy. But then we get to this picture, and there's no debate of what's going on here. All three of those other pictures that I showed you, we could debate what was happening there. One person could say something, and another person could say another. You could debate, but here is without question. It's Jesus carrying his cross. That's the truth. Now, why? Man has a problem. We always ask each other, who do we believe and how do we know what truth is? Some people get their views and their beliefs from social media. Some people get it from their parents. Some people get it from Mr. Neal, which is questionable. You guys laugh a lot more than the first service. I appreciate that. But that's man's problem. We always ask ourselves, who do we believe and how do we know what truth is? Let's look at American politics nowadays. It's so hard to believe what they're saying. As a fresh adult, I'm 18 years old, which means I'm voting in this upcoming election. So I've been paying attention to some of the debates, some of the news. I've been watching the news, which is insane that I do that. And I just found that there are so many partial truths mixed in with so many lies. You'll hear one thing from one person and the complete opposite from another. What do we trust? What's the truth? There's so much partial truth and just enough truth that it makes us question what's going on. You got fake news. It came up a lot during the COVID pandemic in 2020. You heard the former president talk about fake news. What you hear from CNN is fake. What you hear from Fox is fake. What you hear from ABC is fake. So what do we believe, and how can we believe it? Well, there's companies like Snopes who go out into these fake news and try to fish out the true information, try to get the true information out to the American public. But even they are inaccurate sometimes. So it's left the American people to really question what is true. So what are some examples of these partial truths? I thought of the JFK assassination. It happened 61 years ago, and we're still not 100% certain of who did it, where he was standing, if he had accomplices. There are so many different conspiracy theories, different industries built off this one event. And with all the high-level technology and science that we have today, we're still unable to figure out what the truth is about this event that happened 61 years ago, and I'm not sure that we're ever going to be able to figure out what the truth is about this. Austin brought up in class this morning, how do we know that George Washington lived? How do we know he crossed the Delaware? Because apparently, I didn't know this, the painting of George Washington crossing the Delaware was painted in 1851 by some guy named Lutz. I don't know. But how do we know that that actually happened? And there are different people that build these conspiracy theories, and they hold strong to them. You know, you can ask one person, is Elvis dead? And they have this entire script laid out of why he's still alive. And you ask one person, is Elvis dead? And they're just firm on their answer, yes, he's dead. But we'll probably never know the truth about that. I mean, it's been so long now. I think he's kind of old, but... But why do people hold on to these conspiracy theories that there just isn't 100% truth about? Well, it's human nature nowadays to have a self-confidence issue, an ego issue, and a desire to be right, and it closes off our minds to whatever truth is. You know, I know so many people, so many of my friends, a lot of my parents' friends, it's just people I've met in general, you know, they'll turn the station to Fox and they'll never turn it to CNN. Or they'll turn the station to CNN and they'll never turn it to Fox because they want to feed their minds what they believe is right. And they never even want to know what the other side is saying. And that closes off our mind to what the truth actually is. We don't investigate enough. We just fill our minds with what we want to fill our minds with. But many people rely on what significant people have told them and will not entertain the notion that they told them wrong. Think of mom, dad, grandma, granddad, aunt, uncle, these different prominent figures in your life, you know, they tell you something and that's how it is for the rest of your life. You know, you can have a conversation with someone and bring up an idea and they're like, no, my mom told me this when I was like 13, so obviously that's what's right, you're wrong. But they don't even want to entertain what you're saying. You know, I take a lot of my advice from my grandfather, not my dad or my mom. Grandfather's a very wise man, so... That's where I get my information from. But you have to try to keep an open mind and entertain the other side to be able to figure out the truth. But let's be real. We could spend hours, days, weeks, months trying to figure out, you know, is Elvis dead? Who shot JFK? You know, these big world-crushing problems. And we could try to figure out the truth about that, and we just won't get through it. You know, we could spend hours and hours on it, which I think you guys want to go to lunch at some point, so we won't do that today. But what we can figure out is what is biblical truth. And the number one question we have to ask each other when we're trying to figure out what biblical truth is why should we believe Jesus or the Bible? Why should I read this book and trust what it's saying? Well, the book documents Jesus' flawless life. Different teachings he had, different miracles that he performed, and it's all documented by credible eyewitnesses. Think of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels. These are different people that spent their entire life with Jesus and documented every single event that happened, and they all agree. So we have documented, detailed events that happened throughout Jesus' life that prove he was flawless, that prove what he taught, and that prove the miracles that he performed, so we trust what he taught. Think of the healing of the blind man. John 9, 1 through 7 says, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, and underline this next part, I am the light of the world. After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told them, wash in the pool of Siloam. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. Think of the healing of the leper. Matthew 8:1-4. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately, he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." These two scriptures are detailed in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all agree. And it details the miracles that this man performed. You know, it's not made up. They all agree. They all write the same thing. So it's true. Oh. Let's look at the fact that Jesus has been around since the beginning. In John 1:1-5, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." I want you guys to underline, "And that life was the light of all mankind, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." I also want you guys to, everywhere it says the Word, cross it out and put Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Let's look back at the previous healing of the blind man scripture, where it talks about light and darkness. Jesus is the light. The light is truth. Darkness is lies and deceitfulness. And Jesus being the light, Jesus being truth, brings light into the world, brings truth into the world, so that we may have truth in this world full of deceitfulness. And the darkness has not overcome the truth, but we have to open our minds to the light. So now that, and Jesus' earthly birth too, let's look at that. Luke 1:26-35 details it perfectly, saying, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town of Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I am a virgin.' The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God.'" He was not born of any man, literally. Joseph did not impregnate Mary. It was done by God. Mary was a virgin who had a baby. The baby's name was Jesus, and that's who we follow. There was literally no man effect on Jesus' birth. So if we're looking at it super literally, Jesus is literally the Son of God. Not just his teachings, not just his morals, not just his miracles make him the Son of God, but if we're looking at it super literally, there was not a man on this planet that had any influence on his birth. It was all the Holy Spirit and all God. So Jesus is literally the Son of God. So now that we've validated all of Jesus' teachings, his morals, his miracles, we've validated the way that he was born, we've looked at the fact that he's been here since Genesis 1:1, during all the creation, and it says nothing was made through him that he didn't have influence on, something like that. Now that we've looked at that and we've validated Jesus' life, Jesus' teaching in the Bible, let's look at what he says. He says in John 14:6-7, and I'm paraphrasing, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." In John 14:1, he says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust in me." Brothers and sisters, Jesus is truth. The question that brings about this whole sermon is, what is truth? The whole sermon, if you haven't taken away anything, take away these three words, is that Jesus is truth. Not your own perception, not your own reality, not how you feel, but Jesus and his teachings and his life and the way he lived is the truth. Jesus is truth. So now what? You may be asking, Logan, I've heard you. I've heard what you said. You know, I feel it. I know Jesus is the Son of God. You validated Scripture. You validated his life. You validated his teachings. I understand what you're saying, but how do I go about it? In Acts 2:31, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Amen. Brothers and sisters, what better way to start your discovery of truth, your discovery of this wisdom that God promises us, and understanding truth, than to start a relationship with it? You don't have to be perfect to be baptized. That's why you get baptized, so you can start your journey of being perfect or being as good as you can and living your life for God. You don't need to prepare yourself to be baptized. You don't need to take steps before you get baptized. Brothers and sisters, if you want to start that walk with Jesus, you want to start that walk to understand truth, to understand the wisdom that God promises, we have a baptistry right here. And you can start your journey today. But it doesn't even just need to be right here today. It doesn't even need to be right here. I went on a Greece trip a couple weeks ago this summer with a few of my friends over at Harding that I'm going to be going to school with. And we were having individual Bible studies together. You know, we got this small group going, and we would just stay up super late, miss our curfew most nights, but we were having Bible studies, and we were making real progress, and me and my friends saw that. And so we kept having these Bible studies, I think we're on a bus tour on our way to Corinth, and one of our friends that had been doing that those Bible studies with us said, "I want to be baptized." So we pulled over the bus, and we baptized her in the Mediterranean Sea. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't need to be right here on a Sunday morning. If you go home and this lesson's sitting on you, and you're like, "I'm still just thinking about it, and I want to start this journey," you know, all hours of the night, no matter where you're at, you find a body of water, and you find someone that can baptize you. I mean, I know Mr. Neal will have his phone on. I have my phone on. You got the elders here at church. If you want to talk to somebody, and you just want to get this journey started, don't wait. Don't wait. You never know what could happen. You always have the option open to you. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is truth. And I think the world struggles today with truth. And the perfect way to start your journey on a discovery of truth is starting a relationship with the definition of truth, which is Jesus Christ. The lesson is yours as we stand and sing.